Unleavened Bread Ministries presents Hidden Manna for the End Time with your host, David Eales.
Hello, friends. This is David Eales. God bless you and thank you for joining us. We have some very important revelations to share with you that were shared with me over the last 30-something years, sometimes in word of knowledge or word of wisdom. They are very, I'll say, untraditional, but you should expect that in these days. The traditions of men have been making of no effect the Word of God. And these revelations will help you to cooperate with God in the time to come in manifesting His Son in you and in understanding the things that are going on around you and the great purpose that God has for these end times. May God give you eyes to see and ears to hear, so that these will be a great blessing unto you. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You may hear some things here that are not fitting with your traditions. God bless you.
Part 43, Fall of America, Rise of the Saints.
Okay, now Daniel 12 and 11 tells us to start counting there. Okay, Daniel 12 and 11. And from the time the continual burnt offering shall be taken away, and we were just told that that was in mid-trib, the middle of the week, right? There shall be 1,290 days. Okay, if you count from the middle of the trib, 1,290 days, you come to the end of the trib in their lunisolar calendar. You know why? Because if it's 1,290 days from the middle of the trib, that's the second 3.5 years, then the first 3.5 years has to be 1,260 days, because after every 6 years, the Jews added 30 days to their calendar to correct it for solar time. So you got 1260 and 1290. That brings you to the end of the tribulation period. We have a confirmation of this. 1260, Revelation 12 and 6, notice the numbers. 1260 and 12:6. And in Revelation 12:6, it tells us that the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period was 1260 days. So you got 1260 days and 1290 days, and you come to the end of the tribulation period. Okay? But he goes beyond that, just like Noah went beyond that, didn't he? He didn't go after the 7 days, he went beyond that. So he says, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. 1,335 days instead of 1290. But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest, meaning die, and stand in thy lot, meaning resurrect. So Daniel's talking about the resurrection of the dead at the end of the days. So if you take 1260 for the first 3.5 years, and instead of stopping at 1290, you go to 1335 days for the second 3.5 years, you come to 2595 days, exactly as Noah did for the resurrection of the dead. So you got the rapture and the resurrection of the dead from the beginning of the trib, 2,595 days until Jesus gathers his saints. So why do they say? It's been there all along. Why do they say? No man knoweth. They haven't taken the time to look at it. The Christians haven't taken the time to look at that any more than the Jews did. You see, they didn't know the time of his coming. Look at this little chart to kind of help you remember it and put it all in order here. Noah and Daniel's timing for the wrath and rapture equate. After 7 years of tribulation, the U.S. is attacked. We saw that plainly from all the types. Okay? And at that time, the sun and the moon are darkened. Okay? If you start the covenant, right there on the A of Noah, you start the covenant, the saints enter the ark at the end of the 7 years, which is the beginning of the year of wrath. Okay? And the saints leave when the ark lifts off 40 days later, which makes 2,595 days. Then, of course, knowing his comeback at the end of the year of wrath. Okay? In Daniel's timing, if you had 30 solar days after 6 years, you come to the seventh year. Now, let me point something out to you. After the 7 years, the Jews would not correct the seventh year because they only corrected every 6 years. See? So you got 6 years, they would correct. They'd go from 1260 to 1290. They would add the 30 days. But they wouldn't correct the seventh year because they would wait for another 6 years to correct their lunar with the solar days. Okay? So you got 1260 days, 1260 plus 30, 1290. That leaves 45 days between the end of that and the 2595 days. The 2595 days is locked in for the reason that God said from 1260 and 1335 comes to 2595 days. So those days are locked in. So why 45 days instead of Noah's 40 days? It's simple. That 1 year that they did not correct, they do not correct their solar calendar, but who corrects it? The Gentile church corrects it. All the Gentiles correct it. They get this right every time. You know who he's talking to here? He's talking to the church, not talking to the Jews. They're the only ones that could figure this out because they always correct it, and the Jews don't correct it. Okay? So, right here, we had 5 solar days after 7 years, right here, and that brings it back to 40 days that the people of God are on the earth during the wrath of God when they take off at 2,595 days. So it's perfect. What about that 40 days? That's an interesting time, don't you think? That they're still on the earth during the flood, right? Hidden in the ark for a 40-day moment. Like Noah, we that are alive and that are left unto the coming of the Lord enter the ark of Christ for the first 40 days of the wrath. We're not talking about a boat anymore, right? I mean, they all gathered together in one place, and yet the saints are spread out throughout the earth. Right? We're not talking about putting them in a boat, but we do have an ark. You know, even the Ark of the Covenant sounds like the same ark, doesn't it? And Jesus Christ is the Ark of the Covenant. We need to learn to abide in Christ. We are learning to abide in Christ. As God restores the revelation of these awesome promises, we learn to abide in Christ. And the Bible says that abiding in Christ in 1 John is to walk as He walked. And those early disciples did walk as He walked because they had the power of the early rain, they had the doctrine of the man-child that was given to them, and these two things together caused them to be able to walk as He walked. In the tribulation period, the same things are going to restore the walk of Christ. The man-child ministry, which is going to bring the same kind of a ministry that Jesus brought, and also this time the latter rain is going to empower the people of God to walk like Christ. The reason they called those disciples Christians was because that's what they walked in. And soon Christians will really be Christians again. And God is going to do in 7 years what the church has failed to do in 2,000 years. It's going to be a very quick revival and a very, very quick falling away too, I might add. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 9, for God appointed us not unto wrath, but unto the attaining of the salvation. Well, people say, well, that's talking about the tribulation, so we're not going through the tribulation. But now we see that the wrath follows the tribulation. The tribulation is for the saints, and the wrath is for the wicked who mistreated the saints. Now, Noah's still here during the wrath, but he's in the ark, protected. There's a great time of protection coming. Zephaniah 2 and 1. Gather yourselves together, O nation, and he's talking to God's people, that hath no shame, before of the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, that have kept his ordinances, and it may be that you will be hid. And I believe he's talking about hidden in the ark for those 40 days, in the day of the Lord's anger. Those that do seek the Lord, they will be hidden in the ark for the day of wrath. In A.A. Allen's vision, during nuclear, biochemical, Holocaust, he said, God's own people who were safe from all harm, for they were hidden, there it is again, hidden away in the cleft of the rock, protected by, you know what the rock is, right? The rock is Christ, abiding in Christ, right? Petra. I heard recently a man was talking about all Christians uprooting and going to Petra, hiding out in Petra during the tribulation period. Well, that's a good way to wipe out all the Christians in one place. You know that? Because if we're not abiding in Christ, it doesn't matter where you are on this earth. There's no protection. But Peter called Jesus Petra in the Bible. That was his name. So we need to abide in him. Protected by a great giant hand which reached out of heaven, shutting them in, like Noah was shut in the ark, the Bible says. The Lord shut him in until the storm be overpassed. For 40 days they're sitting in the middle of this storm and it's raining and the destruction's all around them. Isaiah 26 and 20. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself for a little moment. How long were they hidden in there? For 40 days. And now, and he always connects this moment with that 40 days. Hide thyself for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. And that's exactly what Noah and his were doing, and that's exactly what the saints who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will be doing. You see what I'm talking about? They'll be hidden from wrath for a moment of 40 days. Okay? Verse 21. For behold, the Lord cometh forth out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And the earth shall also disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. That's because that's the resurrection of the dead. In Isaiah 54, 7 through 10, for a small moment have I forsaken thee. He actually left his people on the earth during the wrath for this 40-day moment. But with great mercies will I gather thee. At the end of 40 days, what happened? He gathered Noah, right? In overflowing wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment. But with everlasting loving kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah. There it is, very clearly. This is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah shall no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I will not be wroth with thee. Notice what earth he's talking about that the waters are not going to go over. It's God's people's earth. Now, where does our body, by the way, come from? It's from the earth, right? It will not cover them. But the mountains may depart. As a matter of fact, the Bible does say that the mountains will be cast down in this war that happens during that year. The mountains will be cast down, the hills will be removed. But my loving kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall my covenant of peace be removed. God's people will be under the covenant. Praise be to God. Saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. God's going to do it again, folks. This is what he did with Noah. In the same moment, Babylon falls. Now look at this timing here. This is very interesting. In the same moment, Isaiah 47 and verse 5. Sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the mistress of the kingdoms. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment. There it is right there. In one day. That's the 40 days in the beginning of the one day of the day of the Lord. You follow me? The loss of children and widowhood in their full measure shall come upon thee. Therefore shall evil come upon thee, and thou shalt not know the dawning thereof. And actually, America will not know what hit them. It will be an ambush. And they won't know that mischief has been decided against them. Mischief shall fall upon thee, and thou shalt not be able to put it away. The desolation shall come upon thee suddenly. This is the abomination that causes desolation. They have committed the abomination, and now they're taking the desolation, which thou knowest not. The word moment in the Old Testament Hebrew is the word riga, and it means moment, wink of the eyes. Remember in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 15, in a moment, in a twinkling of the eyes? Well, this is the Old Testament word, and it means the same thing. It comes from raga, which means to toss violently and suddenly as in the sea with waves. Fits pretty good, doesn't it? And also, quiet and at rest. You know what Noah's name means? Rest. Noah's resting in the ark, and violently the waves are tearing all around him, you know, before the ark lifts off. He's right in the middle of all this devastation and destruction, but he's in the safety of abiding in the secret place of the Most High. 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment." The word "moment" here is the Greek word atomo. Scientists actually used this word when they thought they had discovered the smallest particle, being the atom. They named it the atom. They were wrong, weren't they? Found a whole city in there, in that atom. You know, it was been divided many times since then. So they named it atomo. In a twinkling of an eye at the last trump, "For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Here's what I want to make a point to you about. The atom was not indivisible. They did ultimately divide it. And now we're finding this moment, atomo, this moment, is also divisible, because the moment represents the full 40 days. And at the end of that moment is when the rapture and resurrection comes. So we've got the exact same. I think that the Lord put that there as a parable, even used the scientists to do this, because now we know that the atom has been divided. Our moment has been divided. And not only that, the rapture and resurrection happens at the 40 days, and the wicked are left, the wicked and the apostates, the backslidden, the people who didn't bear fruit during the tribulation period, they're going through this flood of the wrath. The Lord said to me, listen to this. This is a word of knowledge I received some years ago. He said, during that last 40 days, there will be a corporate Psalm 91 Passover of the curse for the saints. Can you imagine? Now, we know that Psalm 91 is true all the time, right? But the people that are in that ark are going to believe it. And as you know, most of the Christians today do not believe it, and they don't get to partake of Psalm 91. Okay? A Passover of the curse. In Galatians 3 and 13, the Bible says, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us." God actually took the whole curse that we were due. Deuteronomy 28 delineates that curse. And basically, Deuteronomy 28 tells you everything detrimental that ever happened to man because of rebellion against God. All the sicknesses are there. Everything's there. And God took that curse and He put it upon Jesus so that we didn't have to bear that curse. He put that curse on Jesus. Some people believe that today. Most do not. Some get to receive the benefit of Galatians 3 and 13 because they renounce and they rebuke and they forbid the curse. 1 Corinthians 5 and 6. Remember he said a corporate Psalm 91 Passover of the curse. 1 Corinthians 5 and 6. "For our Passover has been sacrificed, even Christ." You remember the last plague when God's people left Egypt as a type of the world. The last plague was the Passover. And now we're seeing the same thing of Noah. Noah's leaving Egypt, you see, and he's having a Passover. And the saints in America are going to have a Passover. The only thing is, just because Jesus was sacrificed as our Passover, that does not fulfill the Passover. You have to eat the lamb to fulfill the Passover. And except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have not life in yourselves. The flesh, Jesus was the Word made flesh. When we devour this Word, when we consume this Word, and it goes into us, what does food do when it goes into you? It becomes who you are, because your cells are actually created from that, you see. And that's the whole point. When we consume this Word, not just read it, but consume it. That means put it inside of us, you know. Then we become the Word made flesh too, as the body of Christ. And not only, it's not just the Word, because there are some people, I don't know if any of you ever listen to some of these people on TV that talk about prophecy. And one guy in particular, he can quote a blue streak. The Word, he can just quote it and quote it and quote it and quote it and quote it, but he don't know what it says. And his prophecy's all dead wrong. So the point is, it's the blood in the flesh that gives life to the flesh, right? In Leviticus 17:11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And he gave this as an offering. So our own blood was passed on from our parents and brought a sin. The sin nature came to us through our own blood that was passed on by our parents. But we have a transfusion. The Lord has given us his blood, right? And it's our free gift of the life of Jesus Christ. We accept it as our free gift. So in Exodus 12, 5 through 13, it talks about this Passover. It says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. A year represents death, burial, and resurrection because every year goes through those phases. The seasons go through those phases, and spring is like resurrection, right? So it's a male, a year old. You shall kill it, take of the blood, and put it upon the two side posts and on the lintel. Meaning, of course, that the death angel cannot pass through that to get to you because you've applied the blood. You know, how do we apply the blood, by the way? The Bible says in 1 John 1 and 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all unrighteousness. See, there's applying the blood, and then there's just knowing about the blood, right? Faith without works is dead, the Bible says. To abide in Christ, you have to walk as he walked. Now, we can believe that he gave us this gift at the cross to be able to walk as he walked. And our faith will be accounted as righteousness. And God will bring us into that righteousness too. So, it says, they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire. In other words, you know, when you devour the body of Christ, it's with tribulation. The fiery trial comes along with it. Don't the Holy Ghost and fire, remember? The fiery trial comes along with devouring the Word because God wants to prove the Word in you, you know. And with unleavened bread. And you know what unleavened bread is? It represents the same thing as the body of the Lamb. You know, Jesus, the man-child, went forth and preached the gospel of the unleavened bread and told everybody beware of adding anything to it, like the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod, which the disciples understood to mean their teaching. In other words, we're not to add any teaching to the Word of God. No doctrines outside of the Scripture. It's the unleavened bread that has the power to be the Passover for us. The unleavened bread only. In fact, let me tell you what they were told in Exodus chapter 12. That anybody in whose house there was found leaven during that last 7 days, they would be cut off from among the people of God. You know what? The last 7 days is the tribulation period when the unleavened bread is once again going to be shared by the man-child ministry. And it's going to be awesome because you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free, the Bible says, of the same time, by the way. And the people who reject that unleavened bread to accept the Pharisees' doctrine, I'm talking about the modern-day Pharisee doctrines, you know, and the leaven of Herod, which means the beast governments, you know. If you accept that instead of this unleavened bread, what God is saying is you're not going to bear fruit and you'll be cut off from among the people of God. So we're going to have to pay very close attention during that last 7 days because God is going to share the truth. The righteous have no problem recognizing the truth. You know, it's the wicked and the apostates and the religious people that are in idolatry with world religions and people that don't recognize the truth, right? But when you eat the lamb, you have to eat the head, the legs, and the inwards, it says there. You got to partake of all of Christ. How many of you know that most religions don't partake of all of Christ? And they miss out on many of the benefits of Jesus Christ because they only partake of bits and pieces here and there. You know, if you got the head, it means to have the renewed mind of the Word of God. If you consume the renewed mind of the Word of God, you have the mind of Jesus Christ. You're not rejecting the Word at all. And let's face it, how many of God's people, just for instance, how many of God's people do without divine healing because they have not consumed that part of the Lamb and they have not renewed their mind with that part of the Word of God, you see? So they do without. Well, many people are going to die during the tribulation period just like the Jews fell in the wilderness because they would not believe the Word of God. You know what the wilderness is? The Bible says in Revelation 12 and Revelation 17 that the wilderness is the tribulation period. And they fell through unbelief. They didn't go to the promised land like Joshua and Caleb did and entered in their bodies into the promised land. That means without dying, they entered into the promised land. And the rest of those Jews died in the wilderness, and their children entered into the promised land. Meaning their fruit entered into the promised land, but they died in the wilderness, you see. Well, we got to partake of the head and the legs of the Lamb. That means the walk of the Lamb. And he that abideth in him, let him walk as he walked, 1 John says. And when we walk by faith, God empowers us to walk as the Lamb. I mean, it's no sense in getting under condemnation that I'm not able and I've not been there and I'm not there yet. The point is, we receive the end from the beginning. We accept the free gift of Jesus Christ, a reconciliation that happened at the cross, meaning an exchange happened at the cross. We don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. That's the gospel. The good news is that we don't live anymore. Christ now lives in us. So we accept. Our faith is accounted as righteousness until righteousness is manifested in us. Okay? That's the good news. And the inwards. We want to have the heart of Christ, don't we? So this is partaking of the Passover by eating all of the lamb. Our lamb's already been sacrificed. All we have to do is eat. And this Psalm 91, Passover. It says, let nothing of it remain until the morning, but that which remaineth until the morning you shall burn with fire. Meaning, of course, if you didn't eat it, it would be destroyed. It would be ruined. Like the manna in the wilderness. When they ate the manna, if they tried to save it up for the next day, what happened to it? It bred worms and was destroyed, right? You know, the word that we don't partake of today is gone forever because he said, I'm going to prove my people and see if they're going to keep my word or not. I'm going to send them out to get a measure of manna every day to prove them to see. And some of them said, well, we'll just save it up till tomorrow. Does that sound like some Christians being tempted to not read their word today, just save it up till tomorrow? Well, you won't ever get it if you do that. Today's manna is for today, you see. Tomorrow's manna is for tomorrow. So if you save it up for tomorrow, you've just missed a day's manna, right? So basically, we need to be doing this, you know, putting the word in our heart. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, meaning, of course, when you eat the lamb, you need to be immediately leaving Egypt, right? It's not just reading the word, it's putting it into action, right? Your staff in your hand, you shall eat it in haste, it is the Lord's Passover. Eat it in haste, it is the Lord's Passover. In other words, it's very important that we eat it because daily the death angel can pass over us. The curse can pass over us. It is going to be a corporate Passover in the ark. But listen, some people are going to live all the way through the tribulation period because they believe this, you see.
This series by David Eales will be continued on our next broadcast. Thank you for tuning in. For more information and materials, go to www.americaslastdays.com.